Blog Talk Radio.
It's 6:30 on a Sunday, and we are live. This is your weekly AA meeting with Arlo and Adam.
What is up, everybody? Welcome out to the AA meeting. We're here on a special night. It is a Friday night at 7 o'clock, coming at you live. As always, I'm Adam. With me, as always, is the man behind the hashtag, the Mr. Too Strong. What is up, Arlo?
What up, big bubble?
Not much, dude. Now, we're here, as you know, but as our fans may not know, like we covered last time, I'm going to be out of town this Sunday. I'm going to be in beautiful Las Vegas on a business trip. I'm super psyched to go. Psyched.
Man, I don't even know what. I can't say it's too early. Maybe it's too late. You know, we've got to work. I just feel like I don't know what I'm saying either.
Right.
It's all good, man. It's all good. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. We're going to make some magic happen in the show then.
Always. Man, I love doing it. You know, I was listening to our old, some of the past episodes.
Yeah.
Working on a little something for the show.
You are?
And, yeah.
Oh, it's a secret. He ain't telling me. I like it.
You know what I'm about to say? Just
right behind my knuckles to all the way down to, I swear it went down my forearm. What was this crunching noise? And I hear him go. And I was like, his arm was in a way.
Right.
And I go over his arm, he's like 6 or 5.
Yeah.
And all I hear was that thud, and I said, oh, shit, I knocked him down.
Yeah.
And I look, and I was like, he's laying there looking up at me, not knowing what to do. He's never taken that campus.
Yeah.
And he's looking around, and I remember my trainer, Mo Brad, I looked for Mo. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do here, bro. I'm just trying to get to it one. And I look, and Margo, Mo's just screaming in the corner, yeah!
Even Mike Elizondo and Richard Gallon were in my corner.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just hollering, yeah! These guys, I had four fans in the stands. We were in Tulsa. He's from Tulsa. I had four fans in the stands. Two was my brother and my sister. Two was two guys I had no idea I was standing behind my corner. And I guess they didn't like the old dude because they jump up. They jump up and they started yelling. They jump up and started yelling, what the fuck is that? Yeah! The whole-
hey, it's Jency, a.k.a. Corey Lane. What's up?
What's up, girl?
Oh, my gosh, you guys are cutting up. I really hope that this is not a technical issue, but you guys are cutting up. What is going on?
Well, we've been having issues with it all since we started trying to hook it up. Are we still cutting out on it?
Yeah, it kind of feels like you guys are doing the robot, but I've had a couple beers, so I feel like I can keep up for right now.
Hey, what's up? Well, we can hear you beautifully. I'm going to do some twist some knobs and hold my tongue at the different directions here on the back end.
Like, I know none of this when it comes to the technical part. I don't do the technical part. I just do the talking and the bullshitting and storytelling and the fight part.
All right. Any better, girl? Is that anything coming any better?
I cannot hear you guys.
We may have to hold this off. Well, you know what? We can hear you just fine. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what's on your mind, and I'm going to clean it up, and I think I might be able to improve our feed a little bit. So, okay.
Excellent. I actually, you know, my forte is more of the MMA side of things. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about boxing because I'm not as knowledgeable as a lot of other people out there. I mm-hmm. actually was saying that the Conor fight is going to be 2-minute rounds, and apparently it's 3-minute rounds. I mean, that's how unknowledgeable I am in the situation. So I'm excited to get educated tonight. So, yeah, educate me, boys.
Well, you know,
right?
And I never looked at it that way, and I totally agree. I never looked at it that way. And if you look at the ratio of how many boxers die a year compared to how many
I can't think of one fighter that fought in the UFC, like actual in the UFC at the time in the cage that died. I'm sure there are in MMA across the world. But
we have lost fighters in the cage with MMA. Most recently was a fighter from Portugal that fought Conor McGregor's teammate, oddly enough, in this whole scenario. But I'm just a little curious. Was that like a scanner?
Let's get us back.
That's funny. That so sucks.
I'm really glad we went Facebook Live because my tech guy's about to get fired up in this motherfucker.
Yeah, well, we're never doing that again.
I'm going to let you be on camera while all these mess ups going on.
This guy's wondering.
Hey, Corey, you still there?
Yeah, she's calling in now.
Hey,
I just want to know whose ass do I have to kick? I mean, which one of you?
If you're watching my Facebook feed, kick Adam's ass. He just couldn't. Disconnected everything, trying to think he could fix problems.
But here's the question. Do we sound better now?
Okay,
all right.
That's what's up.
You sound amazing.
Okay. Right. Okay. So your question was, like I said, was, let's see if we can get this rolling again.
It basically is MMA safer than boxing due to, and again, I am willing to throw out there that I am a novice in the boxing world. I grew up on a Tyson fights or whatever, but I was young at the time, and it kind of died out after that. is the standing 8 count or 10 count or whichever it is, because as I said, I am not knowledgeable in that section.
I will totally agree.
How many rounds? I mean, how many times per round can you get knocked down and basically almost TKO'd before it's over?
Depends. In a round, most of them have 3 knockdown rules. Most. You can waive that rule. And like Manny Pacquiao, Juan Manuel Marquez won. He got knocked down 4 times in the first round and got up in Manny Pacquiao to a draw. You can waive that 3 knockdown rule. And what sucks is, I don't want to say boxing is just that much more dangerous, but it's a little bit less safety issues in it, you know, and it's because it's been around so long and no one's changed it.
Right.
You know, it's been for like a million years and no one's changed it. You got something new and fresh, still new to the world, like MMA. And MMA has so many, I don't want to say, so many ways to get out. Why are you turning the camera upside down?
He's trying to fix this.
You
I don't even know what's happening right now, but I feel like I'm part of a porno that I'm not in.
Oh, you in it.
The question is, is that a first time?
Oh, you part of this.
It's too late now.
You already part of this. But like I said, they can waive that, right? And I mean, it takes a lot. You know what I mean? It takes a lot to knock someone down. I mean, you got to catch someone really, really flush, really good to knock them down, especially when that's all you're ready for. Like in MMA, you got to look at different things. You know, I may be looking at a dude's legs, maybe looking at a dude's feet, thinking of something else that's coming, and then I get hit with either a leg or a knee or a fist or an elbow. You know, something. But in boxing, it's a little bit harder, I'll say, because you're focused. There's really on one, too. Your left and your right hand. So you're always getting down. He's ready. And I will say I think it's a little more dangerous because I've watched guys get knocked down. And this is like on pay-per-view fights. They get knocked down, hits the canvas, ref starts counting. They said they didn't even realize what happened. They woke up when they hit the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Canvas woke them up and they said, oh, shit, I'm in a fight. And got back
up.
Yeah,
you know what? The thing that stands out to me is I did an interview with Bobby Wambacher, and he said the ref is there to save a fighter from themselves. And I feel like that's very present in MMA, but I don't really know if that's present in boxing. Because
no,
I feel like if you're seeing someone get knocked down repeated times where their knees, their hands, their body, their entire face, whatever is hitting the canvas, but they're getting that count, I feel like that repeated brain trauma, it makes it a little bit more dangerous than MMA. And, I mean, in MMA you can have broken bones and all that. I'm not trying to say that things are completely kosher in MMA.
But that heals. When you talk about the brain damage, that don't heal. And then that's the
exactly.
shitty part. And I 100% agree with you. Refs are in there to save the fighter from himself because we're not going to quit. Me and Adam just had that conversation just now. And whenever I was boxing and I said, I'm ready to die in there, yeah, I'm ready to die in there. Let's get it. And
well, yeah, there's a certain percentage of your ego and
exactly.
just the human nature of survival, you know, the fight or flight. That takes
yep.
part of it also. And so, I mean, especially with warriors that like boxers, MMA fighters, any combat sport, they just have a different reaction. Like firefighters, they run toward
mm-hmm.
a fire.
Exactly. You know,
it's a different reaction. So you need that ref in there. And unfortunately, with some of the tragedies that have happened lately, the reason I brought this up was like, where are the doctors that are clearing some of these fighters? I'll even go as far back as who cleared Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000? Who
those
cleared
dudes,
them?
Those dudes. Okay, Kimbo died, what, like 2 weeks after the fight?
Is Andre
and
4000?
No,
Dada 3000.
Dada, what, like died in the cage and
basically,
like had to be
yes.
resuscitated.
Oh, okay.
And you know what's bad? I know you watched that fight, too. When I watched that
mm-hmm.
fight, when I watched it, I was watching Dada's body language, and I said, he's in bad shape, and he ain't been hit. And I said, and I
mm-hmm.
looked at my buddy, and I said, dude, I said, there's something wrong with him physically. And that's exactly
yeah.
what we said. Who cleared these dudes to fight? I mean,
yes, I remember our conversation with that. We were talking about it, and I mean, we've had a lot of different conversations, and I totally look to you for the boxing expertise
yeah.
because that's not my genre. But like I was watching that and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like it's like me right now. I'm drinking a fucking Bud Light and I just had some pizza. It's like me stepping in the cage right now, totally cleared. Like, yeah, you're good. Go ahead and
oh,
fight.
Yeah, you're good.
It
you're
was crazy.
You know what's crazy is I always say it's not just the ref that's going to save the fighter from himself. That's why there's a corner too. That's why there's a fight doctor. That's why there's three
there's,
people that can
and
save that.
That's completely accurate. Also, it's a little bit of blurred lines as far as the MMA corner and throwing in the towel. It's a little bit different than boxing. You can't exactly like stop the fight unless there's the doctor apparently because this is I
really?
Went over this yes
I
well, you know
that.
What here's yeah here's the thing is like I've seen some fights and most like recently like a year or 2 year and a half ago maybe it was Diego Sanchez he had
uh-huh.
his ankle completely jacked up he couldn't put weight on it at all and he was just getting tagged left and right. And there's another fighter, too. I just, the name isn't coming to my mind right now. But I'm sitting there thinking, why isn't the corner thrown in the towel? Why is this, I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It's like, enough, quit, you're done.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
it goes back to BJ Penn and GSP. Basically, GSP just worked BJ Penn to the brink. And BJ Penn had, you know, he had nothing left. I guess apparently, and I could be completely wrong, and any fan, anybody that's listening, completely tell me that I'm wrong on this because I will take that loss. But apparently it has to happen in the corner in between rounds. Like it has to happen in the corner between rounds. It can't happen like during the match.
During the action. Oh, okay. Well, that's – I don't want to say that's a little different, but at least the corner can still stop it because – you don't know how many times in boxing giving you one more round because you ain't doing
right.
that. We've all had our corners tell us that at some point, you know, hey, we're giving you one more round because you ain't doing nothing. You just end up getting your ass whooped. So I can see that. But if it's super
that's a
bad,
legit corner, though. There's not a lot of legit corners that'll tell you, like, look, you're fucking this up big time. You got to go in there and you got to knock this motherfucker out. Or you're gonna lose this shit.
You got 3 minutes. You better make something happen, kid.
Well, it's been all over the headlines recently. Tim Haig died, former UFC star.
That's where
this
started from,
boxer.
Wasn't it?
34 years old. Yes. He got knocked down 5 times in the first 2 rounds. Match was even over, and he walked out of the ring on his own power, and then died later on that night.
But you know that goes with like that. Remember Pritchard Colon that we talked about a few episodes back? Pritchard Colon, the Cuban kid, the Cuban fighter that walked out of the ring.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Literally,
yes.
his brain shut down in the back of the locker room, and that's probably what happened to this. That's the exact same thing. And you know what people don't get, and what I'm about to get to with what the point I'm about to really make is. I think there needs to be more regulated on the training because man, when I started, when it was boxing, it was Monday we spar hard, Wednesday we spar hard, Friday we spar hard. Well, what you don't get is you got hit and all of a sudden you hearing bells ringing, you got dizzy after that hit. That's a concussion.
Well,
and you kept fighting, because in boxing we say spar, but we mean gym war.
No, it's war. Someone's getting knocked out. Yeah.
Exactly. We call them gym wars. And people don't know about that. And so you get dizzy. You get hurt. Next thing you know, you feel a little better on Tuesday. Come Wednesday, you come back. Oh, it's time to spar hard again. Well, you get hit again. You're getting dizzy again. Now you take that little bitty concussion that bounced your head around on Monday.
Right.
And you add it on to it on Wednesday. Well, you also got to think you're fighting in 12 weeks, 8 weeks, 8 weeks out. Next thing you know, you got, 8 times 3? You got 24 sparring sessions you're going to go through probably before that fight. And every time, all you're doing is adding on to that concussion from day one. And now,
well, you know what? That's an interesting thing because it was Forrest Griffin, I believe, during it was right before his Silva fight, the one where it looked like Silva just basically pawed him and knocked him out. But I heard that he had several concussions inside the gym from sparring and training for that fight. And then he goes into the fight and it's like, your brain's already said, I've had enough, shut down. Like it's a computer with a virus, basically.
Yep.
It's completely damaged and you need time to repair that before you step in the ring and have somebody slapping that shit around. It's a little bit crazy.
You're going into a fight with a half-lit concussion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and people don't realize, and I got told, and I didn't realize this until as I got older and someone else brought that up to my attention. When I first started boxing, Cecil Pettigrew told me you're never going to be 100% when you go in there.
Right.
You know, I never took it as my head factor. I took it as my hands, that when I broke my wrist, my elbow, my shoulder, when I pulled my bicep tendon, my knees when they were tanked and I was getting them fixed. I was thinking, okay, that's what he's talking about, the grind, that body, that hurt.
Yeah.
No, what he was probably really talking about was your head.
Yeah, well, completely, 100%.
To expand, to further the point she was making earlier about, you know, the refs just being there to protect you from yourselves. In boxing, there's a formal, I mean, when you go down, one boxer retreats. I mean, dude's down, I'm backing off, I'm going to my corner for the count. MMA, it's not like that. Once your opponent's down, you attack until they stop the fight.
That's true. And the part that I'll say that makes it a little bit that I'll kind of give it equally as dangerous is because there's a catch-22 in everything. I'll say equally as dangerous based on Dan Henderson versus what's that British fighter's name?
You're talking about Michael Bisping.
Bisping versus Dan Henderson. Dan Henderson starches him.
Yeah.
Starches him. You see him dead. His body weight just drops dead.
Uh-huh.
Dan Henderson jumps up in the air, drills him like cold, dead to the world, drills him with a just splash down, hammer right to the face. And dude like curls up like a dead bug. I mean, I thought he was dead.
Sure.
And here's the thing, though. Like Dan Henderson straight said that he wanted to give him that last shot because of the beef and the bullshit they had going on between him. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, in boxing, Bisping going down, he could have been given that standing count, you know.
And you know what's bad? We bring up counts. There's really two types of counts you can get in there. You can be standing there getting pummeled,
right,
and taking abuse, and the ref's like, hang on, I'm going to give him a standing eight count.
Right.
Breaks the action up, pushes the guy back in the corner, gives him standing eight right there. Gives him eight seconds of recovery. And, of course, when you say, hey, are you going to continue, no one's going to say no.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, dude. I'm getting my ass kicked. I'm still going to be fighting. And I don't even fucking fight. I just know that that's like the human drive right there.
I get a standing eight count. I said, woo, I just got 8 seconds to recover.
I feel like sometimes in between beers I should have a standing eight count. Like there should be a ref that tells me, like, you need a standing eight count. Bitch, can you hold still? No, you can't. You're done.
I love the way your mind works, man.
Oh, she's we've had tons of conversations and dumb stuff throughout the years.
Computers, viruses, pornos you're not a part of, and now drinking. Man,
I'm telling you, she's I don't know how she's single, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody out there. But
it's because I don't give my gentleman standing eight counts. So once you're down, you're down. Fuck you. Done. It's over.
Wow.
Now that's that's going to make the highlight reel one day. Holy crap.
But and you know, like I said, I agree 100% with what you just said about Bisping was knocked out, hit the ground, could have woke back up and had the eight.
Actually, he has 9 seconds. If he's on the ground, he has until 10. He has 9.9 seconds to actually get up and get his gloves. And basically, he don't have to be upright. He just has to be off the ground.
But how scary is that? Because I'm going to go to this point. I am not a professional fighter in any way, shape, or form, but I have been in my fair share of scraps out on the street. And I have had my boys in some crazy fights out on the streets. And I have seen fools stand up. They had no business standing up, and I'm pretty sure they had zero idea what their name was, what state they were in, what year it was, and what day it was. But they stand up because it's your normal reaction to get up and get out of danger. So there's that natural reaction to, like, get up. No, I'm good, especially as an athlete and especially with everything on the line, especially with paychecks on the line and everything else that comes with it. It's like you're going to stand up and you're going to fight, and it is like it's just kind of crazy that we're like, you know what, three times around or however many times you sign off to, you can get knocked into complete oblivion and then we will still let the fight go on. That's a little bit crazy to me.
You want to hear something super crazy? Go look in boxing
history. Of course,
history.
And I'm sorry, I was drinking so I couldn't.
It's all right, I'll keep talking, you drink all night. You want to hear something crazy? Go look in boxing history, like old Jack Johnson and stuff like that.
Okay.
All them old fighters from like the early 1900s. Those guys would almost basically till someone died. Almost. I swear. Like, it would be like a 100-round fight. Wow. Like, you watch them, they're like
fucking gnarly.
It would be like, it went 75 rounds and they were both knocked down 32 times. I'm like, how do you live?
Right?
Jesus Christ.
How do you live? Like, you look at those old foot, and I'm like,
what was the lifespan on these guys? Like,
probably like
22?
If you're lucky.
I'm sorry. I am not even that kind of warrior. Like, you knock me down two times, and I'm seeing stars. I can't hear shit. I'm fucking down for the count. I'm pretending I'm dead. Like, that's the only way to go.
See, I'm hard nosed, man. To do it and sit in there and think you're going to do it forever. I will say you got to be cut from a cloth. Man, I got hit one time by my buddy Jason Nicholson, and my whole, like, from middle point of my left eye over, I couldn't see out of. Looked like a fuzzy screen TV. And I stayed in there. I stood there, and I still stood there and traded blows with this guy, and I'm like, I can't see nothing. I cannot see anything. And I was scared. I was like, man, my retina detached.
Yeah, right. Gonna have Bisping eye all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly.
How much of that is muscle memory, though? I mean, you spend all of this time training.
That's
and
a good point.
You are literally in a state of daze.
I was out on my feet. I've never been punched drunk till I fought him.
Right. And you're training yourself to exist in that state of being just half unconscious.
Punch drunk.
So somebody knocks you out, you're just I'm. This is normal.
It's. I don't, you know, now you say that, a lot of it probably is muscle memory. Because you know how many times I'd sit there and I get hit, and I get real dizzy. I rock back on the ropes, pick my hands up, cover my head, and I'm looking at this dude, and the world's spinning. Like,
right.
Everything's moving. Looks like an earthquake, but nothing's going on. And all I tell myself, because I've been down that road, I told myself, I said, you're all right. You've been down this road before.
Right.
You're all right. You're going to get it back. Your senses are just a little rough. And that's a concussion.
You're
not even thinking about it.
You're conditioned. You condition yourself for it.
And it's really scary because then I tried to hit the guy one time who did it to me, and I hit him in the chest. And I was aiming right for his face. I don't know how it went, but it's so. And I was like, yeah, you might want to take another breather for a second.
That would just rock back sum up my entire boxing career if I ever got into it. It's just throwing these monster blows and none of them landed where they're supposed to.
Like, I couldn't tell how far away he was. I couldn't tell how far away I was. I was like, am I even in the building? Where are we at?
Unless you hit him, then it'd be all skill, right?
I got really lucky. I got really lucky. I was blessed with a super hard chin. People sit there and say, oh, I got a hard head. Well, everybody got a hard head.
Yeah.
Let me bust you in the chin real quick, and I'll tell you if you're going to be a fighter or not. And I got blessed with a really hard chin, man. And it, like I said, the best and worst thing a fighter can know is he can take a punch.
Yeah.
Because if you take a punch, you know, you're like Evander Holyfield. You're like, man, if it comes down to it, I'll make it a dog fight, and it's going to be a dog fight, and let's get it.
I haven't been in a fight since high school, and I know I've never been knocked out before. So ignorance is bliss, so at least I can claim, you know, I bet I've got a pretty decent chin. Seriously, you know, no, any of us, some dude like bumps into me with an elbow, I'm out on the floor probably.
You know what, I got you beat a little bit. I took on a dude a couple of years ago, like he was talking some shit to my chick, or my friend.
Oh,
I like to say that. I see my chick because I'm just secure like that. And I'm like, dude, she's my homegirl. Like, she's my chick, like, whatever. But I was the one that ended in cuffs that night. I mean, I don't know if that has to do with, like, Utah laws or if that has to do, like, solid chin. But all I know is that I got a concussion from that shit, and I was lumped up for days. And that was the most fucked up I've ever been in my life. And I started thinking, like, you know what? I got a whole new respect for these fighters because I feel fucked up. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to get up and make food. I don't want to do shit.
And just think, we go out and party after this. No joke.
Yeah, you guys go out all fucked up. I was like, I went to take my kids for ice cream and I had a black eye. I was like, people are going to think I'm a like victim of domestic abuse. Like, shit's fucked up
out.
Right now.
We go out punch drunk, like we already drunk. Everyone's like, man, this dude's already lit. Nah, it's got my ass whooped for about 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
I talked to fighters right after they got, like, a KO or a TKO loss, and I talked to them after, and they're out at the club. They're celebrating, and I'm like, I'm at home feeling bad for you. Like, what the fuck just happened?
I love it. I love your insight. But yeah, that's like I said. Back to the main subject, though. I will say I agree with you 100% that the count does make it, and I agree that boxing, I don't think has as much I don't want to say care, but as big of a heart when it comes to protecting their fighters. I mean, biggest case I can think of was like 3 years ago, and y'all can look this up. His name was Magom. I can't even pronounce. He's a Russian fighter. Magomed.
Some Russian dude.
Yeah.
Right.
The guy, I mean, me and my buddy watched it on HBO, but his name was like Abdusalamov. But anyways, this dude gets in there, John David Jackson, who I have a lot of respect for, but still didn't do his job, was the Russian's cornerman, and he kept telling him in the fight, I'm dizzy, in the corner. That's a sign he's wanting you to stop it. He don't want to stop it, you know what I mean? And John David Jackson said, well, what do you want me to do? And he's like, oh, I'm going to keep going. Of course I'm going to keep going because you just questioned my manhood. But as a trainer, he should have threw in that towel because right after he went out and had a brain bleed, passed out in the taxi, started puking all over himself. They rushed him to the hospital. He had a stroke and now can't even move.
Holy crap.
That's the scary thing. And even with MMA, I mean, we've had a couple incidents like that. Most notably, like I said, with the Charlie Ward, I believe, was Connor's training partner that had an MMA fight that the fighter passed away, unfortunately. But he was fine to get to the locker room, and he was fine on his own to walk there. But that's the thing with brain trauma is that things are still taking place while you're moving and while your body is still functioning, because it's that fight or flight thing, you know? Your body's saying, no, I'm all right, I'm good. It's not a big deal. It's nothing to be worried about. But at the same time, like, later he's rushed to the hospital with a major headache. And unfortunately now, you know, that family is without him. And it's a rude awakening sometimes as a combat sports fan that we do lose fighters in these circumstances, because we know, as hardcore fans, not the casuals. Casuals just want people to get fucked up. I get it. But as a hardcore fan, you're looking at the technique. You're looking at, you know, for MMA, you're looking at the takedowns. You're looking at the submission defenses. You're looking at all of these different things. But when it all boils down to it is they are humans, and they are not robots, and they bleed just like us. And
there's somebody.
It's just, yes, there's somebody to somebody. And that's the part that I think a lot of fans, and I think that's where hardcore fans, they get frustrated with the casual fans, because these casual fans just want them to go in and, like, knock motherfuckers' heads off. But at the same time, there's so much trauma, and there's so much damage, and there's so many long-term damage issues that happen with that. It's just kind of crazy.
And, you know, like I was telling Adam, we were joking about it. I said, you know, I used to train. I'd get up and think I would be sitting in the living room, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get something to eat. I get up, walk to the kitchen, forget what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And be like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I going in here for? Oh, I don't know. Walk back in the kitchen, you know, walk back in the living room, sit down 5 minutes. Oh, wait, I'm hungry. Oh, get up. You know, it could happen like 2 times. Like I was telling Adam, I told my brother over an 8-year course of me boxing that very flight 9 times.
Yeah, you know what? Mental health is a huge issue. You know, it goes into depression. It goes into anxiety. It goes into PTSD. It goes into a whole bunch of different realms that, like, a lot of people don't want to face, because, you know, mental health is still a huge taboo in all aspects of our society. But,
and you know what? I agree.
In combat sports, it's so prevalent, like, it's just kind of crazy that we just keep pushing it under the rug, that all this abuse. And I mean, for MMA, we don't really have the things to look back on yet, because the sport is still young by standards of long-term sports.
Right.
Yep.
But I mean, look at our boxing pros that have come and gone. There's definitely damage that comes, and it's how much of that is from getting your brain slapped around.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Getting knocked down.
Well, and it's no comparison, you know. But, I mean, look at the most famous poster boys of brain damage resulting from concussions. Look at Chris Benoit from the WWE, who had so many concussions over the years that he literally lost his mind and then ended up killing his family and then himself. And
And you know what irritates me about lot of that with poster boys, none of them are fighters.
Well, this is true,
they take NFL stars,
right?
They take WWE stars,
but
nobody wants to put the people who take the most trauma,
right? You're 100%.
It's because, you know, it's kind of like what I always say about medicine. There's no money in cures.
Yeah.
So we put regulations. Mm-hmm. On all these fightings, well, you know, next thing you know, we got glorified spar matches.
Well, and I mean,
right.
They're talking about it a lot now, but in 2-3 years, no one's going to remember Tim Hague.
Nope.
Who just died.
That's
nobody.
The unfortunate thing about the sport is that we are so quick to turn over that we completely forget the warriors that were lost to weight cuts, that were lost to knockouts, all these different things. It's something that needs to be addressed in the community. I completely think it's insane to me to ignore it.
Absolutely right. Well, I mean, but you know, they pay them. I mean, that's, people don't understand why Floyd has as much money as he makes, and why McGregor and him is going so much back and forth over the money situation here. But people don't understand that these gentlemen are literally putting their lives on the line. And, you know, people say, oh, he's going to freaking kill McGregor. That's very possible.
I mean, either one could kill either one.
Well, I mean
I'll sit here and say McGregor's going to get his ass.
I mean, he might point box him to death. I mean, he might point him to death over, what is it, 12 rounds? I don't even know. I'm so an amateur in boxing. It's ridiculous. But I don't think he's going to be knocking him out. But that's where the money's there.
Yeah, I just don't. I've never been just I've seen so many flaws in what they do for taking care of both sides.
Right.
And it sucks, but it comes down to money.
So the question is this, because we beat all the other horses dead. No pun intended. What is there any really realistically anything else they can do without hurting the sport? No.
No, so, there's not. That's the unfortunate part. I mean, in MMA, they got rid of soccer kicks, which are just brutal. Like,
horrible.
I used to watch that and think it was the coolest thing ever, but it's really not. It's American History X kind of brutality.
Really? Love that movie, by the way. Me and my buddy was thinking about going to Mexico to take a Lucha Libre fight just so we could soccer kick someone in the head. I said, I'm game. I'm like, and then I started thinking, I said, wait a minute, what if you get soccer kicked in the head? I was like, I don't want to die. And I'm like, all
that
I know how to do.
Doesn't happen how to fight and how long, you better watch your corner right there.
Actually, this is when I was fighting.
Oh, gotcha,
This was years ago. I wouldn't say it now. I'd be like, no way, I'm not going down there. They try to keep me. They wouldn't let me back across the board. They look at my brown ass and be like, nope, you're no good. Whatever, you're going to go down there. They're like, oh, welcome home.
Oh,
be like, keep him.
The only reason I'm going to Mexico is to get my teeth, you know, health care and all.
If
but,
you pick me up and sneak me back across.
Now the truth comes out why the wall's there, because he don't want Arlo coming back.
That's probably it, man. That's probably it. I break the walls down like Jericho, baby. I was waiting for that. I knew that was coming. But yeah,
okay, I choked.
Oh, but it's pretty unfortunate. And to touch on, you know, while we're talking about killing boxing is hurting, right, man, right now. I mean,
absolutely.
It's there. It's comfortable in itself, but it's not in the mainstream like it was. And there's just really not any names. I was listening to another podcast, and they're geared around fighting. And to hear them say the words, oh, man, nothing's happening in boxing right now. Absolutely nothing's happened.
Well, I don't know how they can say nothing's happening, because I mean, we just had Ward Kovalov, too, which was an amazing fight.
Well,
what's next for Ward? We got Canelo Triple G. He's going to fight Adonis Stevens.
But here's the thing. I'm a boxing novice, okay? I'm a boxing novice. And if you can sit here and list the names of the people that are keeping boxing alive right now, there's a problem. It's just like any other company. It's just like any other company in the United States of America or anywhere else. If you have, like, 4 employees that are keeping things going, you know that there's an issue, because what's going on with the 600? I mean, the UFC roster is huge, and it's not just UFC. I mean, there's Bellator, and there's all these different promotions and all of that. But with boxing, if you've, out of all of the boxing community, you have 4 names that are keeping things going, and one of those names is a retired fighter that's coming out of retirement at 40.
That's
things
boxing.
Might be on shaky ground.
We'll come out at 50.
Right?
That's boxing. We'll come out at age 50 just to prove it.
But did that happen a lot during the time?
Like,
there?
Bitch, well, I wish you would. Bitch, I wish you would.
Oh, I would. Age 50. I'm going to mark that down right now. Age 50, I'll come out of retirement.
For the record, you were just saying not 30 minutes ago that you're like, man, you know, I'm feeling a lot
better. These knees aren't hurting like
I'm going to retire right now. They don't even know. They don't, want that.
All of a sudden he's going to take on like Manny or something crazy. Like he's just going to bring boxing back into it.
Okay, funny part then was we're talking about coming out of retirement real quick.
Okay.
Did I ever tell everybody? Yeah. Did I ever tell you all about the time that I tried to fight Kimbo Slice? Did John tell you this story?
And that is one of my favorite stories ever. I live off of that story, and God rest his soul. But...
Yeah, God rest his soul. I will never bash him again because he cannot defend himself. But I will tell the story.
I mean, he couldn't have defended himself before # Burger King.
I'm just saying, him beating up Bones behind Burger King. Sorry, God rest his soul, Mr. Kimbo, but. Burger King was not going to be Arlo Jumper. They quit talking to me as soon as I said, you want me to beat up Bones behind Burger King and put it on YouTube? And they said, get famous. His promoter told me, get famous and you can have him. And I was like, get famous? I said, you want me to go beat up Bones behind Burger King and put it on YouTube? Because I will. And he just shut up and left me alone. And I was like, oh.
You ruined it.
I did.
You burned that bridge.
I talked myself out of a And I was like, get out of here, man. I was ready to come out of retirement. I didn't have no knees then. I don't know
what I've done. Look at the day.
I told everybody, and y'all watch this at home. Y'all watch this part at home. This was Kimbo Slice, and I love Kimbo. Don't get me wrong. He did a lot of good things, and I can say about the respect I really have for him. But this is why I wanted to box him. His head moved. His shoulders moved more than his head. This was his slipping.
Yeah.
His hands are like this.
When he fought, it looked like me trying to dance.
Yeah. I said, if he ever went to boxing, I'd smoke him.
Yeah.
And then, like, 6 months later, he goes in. And I tell everybody, man, I'll fight Kimbo, and I'll be damned. Tyrell Brown puts on, because Tyrell Brown was friends with his promoter, Matt Moore, who on HDBoxing.net. Gets on there and tells Matt Moore, he's like, who do y'all want to see Kimbo fight next? Gets on this thread on social media and goes, Arlo Jumper. And, man, everyone's seen it and just tagging me in it. Arlo. And I was like, I'm working overnight. I can see my phone blowing. I'm like, no, I'm not good.
You were so lucky the podcast wasn't with me because I would have cut that sound bite out and plastered that shit right up on that feet. I was behind Burger King, baby.
Right? Tag that shit.
That was great. That was one of the great. Little moments, man. I had a lot of fun moments. I mean, how many people get to say that? I got some funny stories, dude. I got some. You want to hear some crazy fight stories? And I'm not going to throw the girl underneath the bus. But me and this one chick.
That's not the story, is it?
No.
Okay. Just make
me and this one.
Me and this one chick. That's never ends well.
Me. Yeah. Exactly. You know how that goes. We were adults, so it don't matter. Me and this one girl I used to mess around with.
Let me just throw out that for, like, my record's sake.
Me and this girl.
You know what? Floyd doesn't care how old a bitch is. He'll knock a bitch out. I'm just saying.
I'm 35. She's got to be at least 25. But anyway, this was 10 years ago. We're, like, the same age.
Okay.
I was working at the bar, and I met her at this bar. Me and this girl used to hang out.
Were you the same age? But, okay, go on.
Because how are we not? There's a lot of 35-year-old people in this world. You do know that, right?
I'm so sorry. I thought you said 35 and 25. But anyway, continue on.
We don't all celebrate 29 years of birthdays every year like you. Like women. I just get old as fuck. I just go with it.
Hey, I've only done it four times.
It was about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, me and this girl I used to mess around with. Like, I lost contact with her, you know, over the years. But Rampage Jackson came up to Tulsa. She was working at the Hard Rock at the time. She gets my autograph for me, right? And I go sit and have a conversation with Rampage. We're having a cool conversation. Well, about 6 months, 8 months later, she comes back to Tahlequah. And she came back to Tahlequah, and she was like, hey, you remember that guy that you had me get? I was like, yeah. She's like, look at this. She's in his hotel room. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, that makes me a Rampage brother. I'm pretty sure, like, we're brothers somehow now.
Eskimo brothers.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he has no idea who she is now. But, and I was like, why are you in his room? And she's like, oh, I was just, I'm like, no, you're not just hanging out.
She's trying to get that standing eight count, man.
Well, that's he's an MMA.
She's trying to get that tap out. But I'm sitting there, and I was like,
no,
my
she might have had a knee on the canvas or two. I'm just saying.
But yeah, so I was like, how many people can say that you know that you'd be like, man, I had that before Rampage did. I mean, I was cool like that for like 2 days, you know.
Dude, he tagged my photo.
I mean,
and
you know what? It's Rampage, so I feel like there's a lot of bitches out there that have ran through that. But
oh, you
I mean,
know,
that's a cute story and all.
You ever asked her if he earned his nickname?
Yeah, I bet he did. I bet he did. I'm sure she didn't remember me for any different reason.
Oh, well, like, Jesus.
You put on right for yourself, kid. You know, I gave myself a fist bump, you know. I was like, yeah.
You know, there's a special place for those of us who are like, most people would be like pissed. He's like, what are you doing in his room? And we're like, hell yeah. My girl just did was in his room.
Like off the longest yard. You
yeah.
know, the guy's like, hell yeah. Good
yeah.
enough for a superstar. Like, I must be doing something right.
oh,
you know,
shit.
You know, you know, I met some really cool people, though, doing this. You know, I met Rampage. Hey, is there any
update?
I bet you did. Blitz, I met Tito, I met Matt Hughes, and I'll tell you the two people that I was really impressed with when I met them, and y'all gonna laugh on one because one was Rampage. The dude treated me just like he knew me for 10 years. Like we sit at the bar and just shot the shit for like
I feel like
minutes.
That's legit because he respects men, but on the women tip, not so much. He's completely groped women on national TV. But
that's right. True. That is true. I've seen that too. Yeah, I've seen that video. but yeah, like we just sit there and shot the shit for like 30 minutes, like about nothing, what we've been doing, just telling old stories and
yeah.
talking dumb shit. The other one was
talking
Matt.
About your bitch that he fucked and all that. I mean, I am sure you had tons of things to talk about.
Or afterwards. You know, like, she wasn't mine then, but I mean, it was just cool stories that I could say, hey, we're like brothers now. He wouldn't remember. He probably don't remember who she is.
You never know what's going to be the force that binds you together.
You never know. That's how we became best friends.
Some degrees
it brings a whole new meaning to like the standing eight or 10 count or whatever the fuck it is. Like it brings a whole new meaning to it.
I'm pretty sure he laid her out, but anyway.
He did too. I'll tell you, the other one was Matt Hughes, and the reason I'll say Matt Hughes, I went up to meet him, and he was at a fight that I was working, and I was working a corner for this one fighter. And I seen him, and they were like, hey, there's Matt Hughes over there. So I was like, man, I'm going to go shake his hand. And I went over there, and he stood up, and he shook my hand, and he introduced himself. And that meant more to me than anything. Because I knew who the fuck he was. He didn't have to introduce himself. He's like, hey, how you doing, Matt Hughes? You know, shook my hand. I'm like, yeah, fuck, everyone knows. But I didn't say that. They want to boost his own ego. And I shook his hand, and, you know, I've been there with people who introduced themselves like, oh, well, I'm sure you know who I am after they realized they were introducing themselves. I'm like, oh, I don't fucking know who you are. That's how I acted to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I give Matt Hughes more respect than what I've seen him on the camera. Cause when he was in person, he was real.
I've got respect for Matt Hughes. However, have you read his book?
Mm-mm.
You may want to read his book. It's a bit disturbing.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, his wife was way underage when he was a college student, and he was pursuing that, if you will. There's a lot of parts in there. Like, he brags about taking on his dad and, like, fucking up his dad. He brags about him and his twin brother, like, trying to throw his mom out of the window, like, it's a whole crazy scenario.
Everybody's crazy.
It might go back to brain trauma. I'm just saying. It might go back to that. I don't know.
That's very true because one of my friends' wrestling coach, he has dementia right now, and he's the earliest case of
Oklahoma for having dementia, and he's never had a combat sport except for wrestling.
Wow.
And he was a collegiate wrestler, and the doctors told him that they believe that the reason he has this dementia is based on all the unrecorded concussions he got during wrestling.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yep.
So, and he's like almost nothing.
My dad, actually, my father, I watched my dad go through the early onset of dementia and the severe part of dementia and all the different aspects of it. And I was his caretaker for a few years. And that's actually, I mean, besides like my day job, I deal with disabled adults and special needs adults. But watching my father, who my father was a football player when they had like leather helmets, and my father was a dude that didn't take bullying, so he would go box dudes just like randomly. My dad was a tough dude. My dad taught me to fight, and that's probably where my obsession comes from. But I watched all of that go down, and I can say that it's not a pretty process. It's not at all. And if that's where head trauma is leading a lot of people, like, that's just really scary to me, because it's frightening when you see it and when you have a loved one coming after you or your kids or anyone else because they have no sense of, like, actual reality. It's just a phantom of who they are. It's disturbing.
Wow. So let me ask you this, as we wind down to the last minutes of the show, let's turn the tables on you a little bit. How long have you been following combat sports? What got you into it?
I'm a huge addict. I had a boyfriend when I was like 17 that got me into mixed martial arts. And I am forever thankful to him, because from the first fight he ever took me to, I got completely obsessed, and it's I'm 37 now, so it's been a good 20 years since I've been involved in it. Haven't always been outspoken because I'm a female, and I feel like there's a lot of sexism out there as far as I mean, we're making leaps and bounds in the female division, but as far as someone that is knowledgeable or has an opinion in it, I feel like we are still very, very underdeveloped, to say the least.
Extremely. That's what I'm getting to.
Yes.
I was so about to get to it. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something on that part, now that you broke down to that aspect of it.
Yes.
I always tell people that you can see the difference, and I mean this in no disrespect by any way, because I can watch a woman fight just as easy as I can watch a dude fight, because as long as you're coming to get it, I appreciate the battle. You can see the difference in the female movement as compared to the male movement. It's not as natural. It's not as fluent. There's just something missing to it that I don't see the change for at least 100 years of evolution,
right,
this breaking into combat.
Oh,
evolution, fighting
style. 100 years. I feel like we're so over exaggerating with 100 years. There is a stigma in the gym that women have to go harder. They have to prove themselves further to even get, like, with MMA, to get that mat time or to get that sparring time or whatever. They have to prove themselves against men. And that's all fine and dandy, because I'm all for equality. But at the same time,
I'm talking about the movements, the fluidness,
the fighting style.
The style of it. I'm not talking about the heart, the grit, the grind. No, none of that. That's all there.
Oh, no, because the heart and the grit is there for 100%.
I'm talking about them being sexist and saying, oh, you got to go harder because you're a girl. I'm talking about the movements. I'm talking about the
style and form.
Exactly. The style and form, the way it moves, because you can see their body moves just a little differently. And if we put two side-by-side comparisons of a video, you would see what I'm trying to say.
Not any better or worse.
Well,
what I'm gonna
say to that is that I agree with that, but I also agree that the male form and the female form are built very differently. Their body structure, their muscle mass is very different. And I mean, that even breaks down into the different, and I don't even mean this with any disrespect, but that breaks down to like different races also. Like, muscle mass is just broken down differently. And I completely agree 100%. That's why I have never, ever said that females should face males because it's a completely different physiology, and it's completely broken down different. But I also think that inside these gyms, a lot of times the time is spent more so into the males than it is the females. There are some rare females that break through that, and that's either because they are, you know, born a legend by having the name, or there's a Juana of the Juana. I say Juana. It's Juana. But they are the Juana of the division, or at the time the Ronda Rousey, and we've all seen her debunked, but of the division, you know. And I feel like we have an evolution that has to come from that, but I feel like we're in the middle of it, and that's what's exciting to me, is because we're watching a lot of these female warriors really come into their own and take their presence in a gym, and it's pretty exciting for me.
You want to know why you're talking about the man and the woman? You said that that they rarely break through in that gym. It's because it's money.
That is also
money on the men's fights, and that's that shitty way of looking at it. The other thing I was getting at, there's two girls that I can think of that move real fluently off the top of my head, and I mean differently. And I mean, what, like I said, if you put a comparison side by side, and we're not talking about race, we're not talking about athleticism, we're not talking about muscle mass, because you put a big guy in there with a little guy, you can see the same fluid motion. It's just the style of the body that's a little different. What I'm getting at with the woman and the man is, like I said, it's been a thousands of years of evolution of the man going out, chasing down, doing the battle wars, regardless if it was a caveman fighting a caveman, you know. And that's the difference. That's the aspect that I was getting at. That's why I say it's still 100 years evolution before you'll see a woman move like that, just because it's been thousands of years. And that's no disrespect. We're just going off thousands of evolution.
However, if you look at the new findings, we have Viking women that have been thrown down for years and years and years.
But like I said, we're going to get back. There's two girls that I know off the top of my head.
Yes.
One's Kayla Hiraka, which is in at American Top Team. I met her. Fantastic box. Moves smoother than anybody I've ever seen. The other one's the lady I got lucky enough and blessed enough to start training, which is Michelle McDaniel. Moves just like a baby Tyson.
Wow.
Has unreal athletic. I've never seen a female that could move.
Is this the girl that you've been blowing up on Facebook, sharing in all your posts?
If we get the chance, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're starting a little late. If I'd have caught this girl 10 years ago, we'd already be a world champion.
Wow.
And I can put that down right. I'd put that down on paper.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I mean,
I've seen the videos that you've been sharing.
That much natural, God-given athleticism.
Completely respect that, and I am totally on board to, like, totally boost these women up. But Cyborg, do we have nothing to say about Cyborg?
Well, she probably wasn't she taking testosterone or something? So she probably gave herself probably half man by now.
Super horrible. Super horrible.
There is people out there that has it, but you don't see. Those are few and far between that have that like even Ronda. I was never impressed by her movement. Even like Holly Holm, she has a different. They have this stiff, and the only reason I say it's because I've trained a few women that thought, you know, that was going to be fighters, just helping them with their hands. They have a whole different demeanor. I'm not saying they can't catch on, but they, you know, there's.
What about
this,
Juana?
Who's Juana? Juana man?
Oh my God, no.
I'm trying everything I have not to quote that movie. I love that movie.
Dude, it's hilarious.
Because I thought of that movie whenever you were telling your story, and the four guys standing in the auditorium screaming for you while everyone else is quiet, and I was just like, there, Juana, I love you, Juana.
Dude, I had four fans in that last fight, and everybody else booed. And I have never felt so out of place in my life in a fight.
You know, I'm glad Holly picked that win up, though.
I did,
Holly
too.
She
did
really
too.
Needed that.
Holly did need it. And I like Holly.
Yeah.
I like what she – I like the fact that she's a, you know, a boxing champion and MMA champion and
she
a kickboxing
came
champion.
She came to MMA from boxing.
Yeah, and kickboxing.
Right.
I mean, absolutely. She's probably my favorite female fighter. besides my girl that's fighting for top team right now.
And we,
Kayla,
she put an exclamation point on the first lesson of boxing. Don't drop your hand.
Yeah.
Don't
get cocky. Don't get cocky. You get caught. You get caught quicker than I don't know what, boy.
Well, Corey,
I have to say this about Holly. Like, it's kind of unfortunate that with the Ronda Rousey head kick KO and then the Bechkohea head kick KO, it was two totally different fucking kicks, but the commentators are calling it as the Ronda Rousey knockout. It's just kind of crazy that Holly, who has all these accomplishments in her own right, she still has to justify where she stands in the division. And it was a question mark kick. It wasn't even the same kick that took out Ronda Rousey, but I digress. Anyway.
My personal opinion, I think Rousey was amazing for females in the sport because she broke down those walls and she
proved she could be a
trail.
Headliner as a
right.
female. Exactly.
And
I love that.
And she was bigger than the fights.
Yep.
I mean, she was a role model for a minute.
But I'll tell you what irritates me the most. Go ahead, my bad boy.
Okay. But now you're dealing with the aftermath. Mm-hmm. Now she has casted the shadow that everybody's got to step out of the shadow. And, I mean, as has been pointed out, females in combat sports is extremely new to the sports. I mean, guys have been doing boxing since, you know, over 100 years, just the boxing. MMA is still relatively new. It's what, barely 20 years, 30 years old? And females.
We're looking at 30, yeah.
Right. And females are just now been doing that within the last decade. So Rousey is like going to always be that comparison for for years to come.
Yeah.
And until we get more females in the sport that have became their own, cast their own shadow. I mean, I think we're just going to hear those comparisons for years and years and years to come.
I agree.
Just like everybody compares people to Mayweather and Tyson and all of these, she's going to be one of the big.
You know what gets me the most though? The thing that irritates me the most is from day one, I said Ronda Rousey had the shittiest boxing in the world. But everyone wanted.
I know, and we had conversations about this, and I was so sad. I was like, "No, she's going to evolve. She's going to evolve." And she just never did.
Exactly. We did have that discussion. I forgot all about that, and I kept telling people she has shittiest boxing in the world. What pisses me off the most about it is people built her up. She loses, gets her ass kicked, and it's everyone's like, "Oh, look how funny her boxing is." Do not break her down after you built her up, because that's just too. That's just two-faced on an individual. I said it from the jump. I appreciate what she does in the sport for women.
Right.
That's freaking awesome. But
I had another post recently that, like, my thing was, like, how is she different from Hoyce Gracie? Hoyce Gracie came in the game, and he introduced a different aspect to the fight game as far as combat sports and MMA. And he introduced, like, I'm going to submit you. I'm going to choke you out. I'm going to – it doesn't matter your size. And Ronda kind of came in with her own aspect of that. I'm not trying to do a direct comparison, as I would never do a direct comparison with.
I understand. Kind of similar because you're both pioneers.
Yes. But she's still broken down. She, every single day, you could just type in the name Ronda Rousey on Facebook, on Twitter, on anything, and someone's going to respond to it. That she is a shitty person, that she has not done this, she has not done that. And it's just kind of insane to me. And I'm a Ronda fan, and I'm not a casual. But it's just kind of insane to me that a female, and I totally get, like, Gina Carano came in and she did this, and Cyborg did this, and I totally get all of that. But she came in with her own, like, aspect of it, and I just don't understand, like, why she doesn't get that respect that, like,
I think Ronda's saga, we'll call it that. Ronda's saga is twofold. One, she got too big too fast. She didn't grow into the position. I mean, yes, she'd been doing it for years, but her entire rise to stardom took place over the course of like 2 years. And then, I mean, she got fights. She was dominating in the ring. Mainly because, as you said, she brought a different style. No one had really prepared for that yet. And what she did it extremely well. And then she got the movie deals. She got the magazine covers, the interviews, which blew up outside of the ring. And then
right.
when it lost, everybody just gave up on her and left her. And we as a society, we love to build people up just to tear them down. So, I mean.
100% agree. I completely agree with that. I feel like the media is the fault for this because mainstream MMA media, mainstream combat news media has this clickbait thing that's happening right now, and they would rather post the popular opinion over a discussion
opinion.
Or an opinion or a, hey, look at this from the other aspect. They rather go for the clickbait, I'm sorry. And they helped build this beast that is not only Ronda Rousey, but it's Conor McGregor and everything in between it. I feel like it's just kind of unfortunate that some of these fighters, they're just chasing the dream that they have for themselves. It's not a dream that they have for Joe Blow that's down the block and just wants to see KOs and defending titles and this and that. It's a whole other realm of things, and I'm going to go right into this Conor thing because it's the boxing thing, and it's going to bring us back to this, but I feel like a lot of fans are really missing the point on this Conor and Mayweather fight. Yes, it's a bit of a circus, and I totally grasp that because there are two fighters that are going to talk a mound of shit, and they're going to do, like, crazy things, and, yeah, Floyd can outbox him and this and that and the other thing, but there's other implications that go into this. Like, we can have MMA fighters that have a leg to stand on where they can step outside of the UFC while under contract. They can go to Rizin. They can go to Bellator. They can go to whatever because they have a leg to stand on. They can make more money. And isn't that what all the fight fans are calling for in the meantime anyway, is they want MMA fighters to be paid more? It's kind of a strange situation that's happening right now because it's good business, but fight fans are very agitated by it.
It is, but, you know, when you're talking about money situation like that, that's what you get when you fight for a company.
I would,
mm-hmm.
for me, I think.
And that's what I hate about MMA is that they're companies like Bellator. You're never going to see the Bellator world champion fight the UFC world champion. And, like, I can take the WBC champion and fight the WBO champion as long as we come to agreements and terms. And that's why Floyd makes so much money because it's not a company. You're fighting,
right.
Your own boss.
You know, for me, I think the general public, especially people like me who really don't follow the mm-hmm. combat sports closely, the attraction is more of the best in this field versus the best of this field. And they both got big mouths. They both are egos, mm-hmm. one man promotion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the money doesn't make a difference to other than it was a hurdle that was kind of pissing us all off, that was slowing everything down and made most of us think that this thing would never happen.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
But, you know, McGregor has always had the attitude. He's always been cocky and annoying. He was with the Diaz brothers. He was just about every fight he's ever had. Mayweather's
How dare you confuse Hernandez and Diaz? Like, oh my God!
He's not a big fight.
It's getting late. I'm sorry.
He's not a big fight.
But I corrected quickly. But you know, both men talked themselves up, and they've convinced themselves and the casual fan that they're the greatest that there is. So they want to see these two powerhouses come together, you know, the best of this field and the best of this field, because realistically MMA and boxing are now competing for ratings and fan bases. And I mean, they share a lot, but I mean, you've now got two dogs in the same yard and people want to see which one is the better athlete and the better sport.
You know, I don't like the fight.
I don't either.
Okay, but I mean, we have to go to athleticism. Like,
Floyd
is not the better athlete in the situation.
Floyd is the better athlete.
He's not the bigger guy.
Watch this guy.
That's so hard.
Floyd is the better athlete.
Okay,
hands down.
I really hate to do this.
Connor's gone five rounds. Five minute rounds. I'll give great athletes like Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz may not have the power in his hands, but he has the punches and bunches. And not only that, he has cardio for days because he's training.
Punches and punches. They are horrible. He fixes his elbows up like this. He fixes his elbows up like this. You put that in there with Floyd Mayweather, like Conor McGregor's going to do it there. Pick them elbows up. Floyd's going to see that all day and light him up.
When was the last time Floyd knocked someone out? When was the last time?
Ricky Hatton?
I'll wait.
Ricky Hatton?
Yeah.
2011, what year was that?
I think 10.
Okay.
But he's
so
what,
seven years.
When's the last time Conor McGregor made a $100 million payday? Oh, wow, when he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, how are you going to blast someone on making some money, dude? Like, I can't even understand this. Like, the whole thing is that we want to see people succeed and, like, we want to see fighters paid more. And, like, all these Diaz fans are like, yeah, fuck that motherfucker. Pay my fighter. Fucking Nate made $1 million and he still owes on it. And people don't want to back up Connor. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, I want to see people make money. I want to see you motherfuckers make money. I want to see me make money because the only thing I'm going to fight over is my bank account and my kids. I mean, I don't know what else, but
Well, Corey, I really don't want to cut you off. We could literally go on this all night, but we are almost 15 minutes past our time. So let me ask you or tell you this. I will give you the final thought before we thank you for your time. What's your last point to make here?
I honestly just want to shout out everyone that's ever supported me because there's been a lot of naysayers. So I just want to shout out Fight Book MMA. I want to shout out Cage Fight Submissions. I want to shout out Ty Hill over at my podcast that's about to go live soon, The Fighter, The Writer, and The Fans. I just want to thank you guys so much for inviting me on here.
I've always supported you. I told you that last time. I don't even get a shout out on my own show. Damn. Oh, we've always talked about that. We sent messages about how awesome we were to each other.
Dude, you guys are BFFs.
I don't even get a shout out. Damn.
You know what? I've been trying to tell Arlo to come to my fucking city for fucking months. I will screenshot that shit. We have the most insane car shows, I'm just going to say. I've been trying to get that motherfucker here. And you can just, like, hop in the car and go. And I just want to thank you guys so much for having me on.
Appreciate you having me.
We appreciate your wealth of knowledge. You did bring a lot to the podcast and brought a whole different opinion that I really don't think we would have would have even thought to cover. So
I never would have thought of that question.
Once again, we've been on the phone with Corey and you can where can our viewers find you if they they want to listen to more from you?
They can find me at The Fighter, The Writer, The Fans on Facebook, and they can find me at Corey Lane 80 on Twitter, and they can find me at Juncy Bettendorf on Facebook because they made me change my name because they're fucking fascists. So there you go.
Pissed me off. I was like, "Who is this?" You're like, "That's my real name." I'm busting out laughing.
Oh, man.
Right. Right.
I was like, you so country. Fancy. I've been wanting to say that to you like in person forever.
Call me Stamos again. That's my name. All right.
You know what's funny? We live out here in the middle of Podunk nowhere, and there's a diner called Jensie's Diner, and I think of you every time I think of that place.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I'm going to take a picture of it. It's out in the middle of nowhere. I'm going to take a picture and post it on your Facebook wall.
All right. Well, if you ever come to Oklahoma, you do got to give us a shout out. We may have you come into the show and sit with us. But we definitely appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, boys. Have a good evening.
You too. All right. So that was our guest. Once again, anybody wants to join us, we will be coming back live at you next week at our usual time, Sunday at 6:30 Central Standard Time. You can give us a call in at that time, 516-666-9510. We've got an email address. You want to send us some stories, something you'd like us to talk about on the air, that's aameetingpodcast@gmail.com. We've also got your Facebook, which we're on there as AA Meeting Podcast, Twitter, AA Meeting Pod. Man, we are everywhere, dude.
Everywhere. Dude.
And you can find us on YouTube, AA Meeting Podcast, if you want to see us live and look at our beautiful faces and watch me awkwardly wink at the camera and try not to do the click there, the no game game.
You do, dog. You do.
But for me,
I don't even know if I have game anymore. I think my game's like played out as well.
The energy drink's wearing off, so your game's leaving.
So, I think so.
All right.
I'm dressed for Friday night, baby. I don't even know. I may just take off straight to the bar for a bit.
You're looking like you got some philosophical thoughts brewing in your head, Arlo. So I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. Thank you guys for tuning us out, and always check us out. We are also on iTunes if you just want to listen while you're doing your daily business. I'm going to turn it over to my man Arlo for some words to live by.
Oh, we got the final thoughts here on words to live by. You know, man, this week's been really been a big blessing to me. I've had a lot of things go on. I'm not going to get touch base on that. We got much time. I had a lot of things go on, just life, man, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all that stuff I always preach about. And I have my own issues I dealt with all week. And it's getting better. It's gotten way better. And I had a lot of people, you know, I was putting stuff on social media just to not to vent, but just so I could go back and look at it and I could reread it and I could say, dog, you got this. You got this. And as I was writing it, I had more people click on it and say, man, what you're telling me is speaking to me here. And people's like, man, the things you put down has been motivating me to keep going. And you know, I tell people that's what life is. Life's about motivate. How many people you can motivate, how many people you can help along the way, how many people, you know, life isn't about dollars and cents. You can't put your legacy on dollars and cents in this life. And what I kind of came through through this whole week is that, you know, my final thought here is I honestly believe that you have to go through stuff in life. You have to. You have to go through stuff in life to really appreciate life, to really appreciate the perseverance, the overcoming. You have to go through stuff to realize all that. You know, to appreciate all that, the faith that you got to put into it. That's what makes you better. That's what gets you there. That's what gets you motivated to keep going. That's what gets the dedication to keep you keep going. You know, and that's why I tell people, I believe in faith. I believe in having a vision. That's what made me the warrior I am today. That's what keeps me going every day. So trust me when I'm going to tell y'all, it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. Just keep grinding like we always do about this time. Remember, baby, keep living strong, keep training strong. Most importantly, keep loving strong. Till next Sunday, we out.